All right, I want to explain what happened today because I'm pretty sure miracle. So Alex Jones is on with this preacher.
Pastor James Williams, Dark Waters.
In the context of Alex Jones recently starting to criticize Trump more and break from Trump more. And essentially they're praying for Trump.
Trump's turned it around before. It can be done.
Yeah. So it's we have to battle for him. Watch this. I'm going to give you another scripture.
So they start reading this one Bible verse. And it's about how you're supposed to be a battle axe for God.
Thou art my battle axe and my weapon of war. What has Donald Trump been doing on behalf of this nation? He's a battle axe of the Lord.
And the preacher is going on about the battle axe as a symbol.
Alex, you're a battle axe. Just running around wrecking everybody. Boom, boom, boom. I'm a battle axe. Every Christian is called to be one of the Lord's battle axes.
It's all about this battle axe metaphor. And this battle axe arrives at the office, the moment they're talking about it, Rob Dew just like takes it in.
He just walked in. This was delivered to the door by FedEx 2 minutes ago. You talk about a biblical sign. This was just delivered.
And he's like, what just happened? Like, this just got delivered.
2 minutes ago. Rob, you just ran in here. What? You got a letter. What does this say? I mean, this is biblical. This is why God works. Somebody got touched by God. I'm crying right now to mail this. This literally just showed up FedEx. Rob, come here. Sit down. Let's read this. What the hell's going on here? He just said, literally, as you said, battle axe, FedEx arrived. What the? This is
so.
And Rob's like, yeah. And he opens up the letter, and it's a letter from a guy.
He's an old carpenter and craftsman. And I was making this axe, and God told me it was for Alex Jones. It's literally what it says right there. I mean, it says it right there.
Fire burned.
And you put it right there.
You just saw this. Is this insane?
This is your battle axe. Let me remind you that God loves you and gives you strength and courage. The best to you as you move along in this crazy world.
Like, you could not have scripted it better.
God bless you.
Look at
Ken.
He's literally talking about this, and this literally gets delivered to you right as he came on. I mean, this is insane.
I mean, it was insane to witness. It was.
This is how God works. Go ahead. Look at this.
Like, seemed miraculous at the time.
No, I just got it and walked in here. I'm like, this needs to go on the air. It was a sign from God.
And then, like, 3 hours later, Donald Trump launches this attack on Alex, where he calls him stupid. It's like, I'm glad he's been ruined. I'm glad he was bankrupt. It was a vicious attack predicated on Alex Jones turning on him and attacking, and he's as good as the left or whatever it is, which it's like.
And now we intercede on behalf of our president, Donald J. Trump.
So everyone must join us in praying for Trump right now. We're going to break this demonic spell right now. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if Trump gets off track. He belongs to God. He's going to do his job if we back him.
Is that attacking Trump? Is praying for Trump and saying we think he's on the wrong track, but we got to get him back on the right track? Does that deserve to, you know, for a guy to say, you know, I think she deserves your children to lose their inheritance? And it was after that. I was talking to one of the editors, and he was like, yeah, I think that battle axe was like a gift from God. He was like, I think that was God assuring Alex he was on the right track.
Perfectly arrives right as you're talking about it. That is the power of God literally telling us that your message was true. God obviously knows the future, foresaw all this moment to back up what you just said.
And it signifies your victory over those people who've been coming after you too, brother.
There's like deeper meanings to it that are insane as well. He says that he made it for Alex, and that it's been in his workshop for months.
So every time I went to the shop, God reminded me, that's for Alex.
But he doesn't send it because he has a fantasy. He has a vision.
In my fertile imagination, I built a two-story that would be...
Rob Dew is having trouble reading the guy's handwriting, and so it doesn't come across quite clearly.
Presenting it to you, and I won a truck.
Because at InfoWars, we do a raffle. And if you win the truck, you get to come down to pick up the truck in person and come on the Alex Jones Show and meet Alex and hang out in the studio. And so he's like, I had this fantasy that I would win that truck and then I would get to deliver the axe in person.
Well, that didn't happen. I wonder what I would do with the axe.
He said his son finally convinced him, Dad, you just got to send the axe.
And he said, just send it to him. So here's the axe, brother.
It arrives on air when he's being told he's a battle axe for God. Right before Trump launches this ill-advised attack that is proven to be ill-advised if you watch that segment and see what Alex's attitude towards Trump really was.
Everything you just said in God's plan literally had someone make this months ago, be pushed by God and said, send it now to perfectly arrive, not last week, not yesterday, today, 20 minutes ago, to Rob Dew see it, delivered it, saying, this is for Alex. We talked. The guy that delivered didn't even know this was going on. Perfect. Okay. That's God's perfection right there. You just saw a miracle, folks.
at Oilfield for as long as I've been an Info Warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the Alex Jones Show is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Make sure you're following us at Real Alex Jones on X at InfoWars. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Make sure you're following at AJN Live, as we will soon be making some changes here. And of course, with this attack on Alex by Trump. There's been a lot of discussion about InfoWars recently, about Alex Jones. Of course, I said on War Room not to repeat myself, but every time there's an attack on InfoWars like this, or like the bankruptcy, or like us getting, you know, they're trying to lock us out of our office, like, you know, every couple of months, there's some significant attack against InfoWars, and it's always disheartening when that happens, personally. It's always kind of like, Really? We got this on top of everything else we got to deal with? But then, in response to the attack, comes this just overwhelming wave of support and people just from all over the place going, hey, look, I might not even like Trump or whatever, but like, Alex Jones is the real deal. You cannot like him, but like, he's the real deal. And of course, most people are just saying, hey, Alex Jones is a living legend. What the hell are you talking about? How dare you question his legitimacy? Because again, I can't express how, like, we are the, not only are we the most real organization in media at this point, and I can say that with, you know, authority, since I know pretty much all of the organizations. InfoWars works harder than any of them and is more real than any of them and is more independent than any of them, just bar none, and by a factor of 10. But we also were sued and are currently still in federal court bankruptcy proceedings. So it is just kind of hilarious for anybody to claim that we're getting money from anywhere other than our audience. It's not possible. Unless you think that somehow the federal court is helping us launder money, like, that doesn't make any sense. Or whether we would risk, like, long-term jail sentences for lying and committing fraud while under the intense scrutiny of the federal court. It's just absurd. It's absurd. We're the only organization ever that you can go to the public court records and see, like, our finances have been combed through with a fine-tooth comb. If there had been $5 that we weren't supposed to have, they would have found it, and it would have been published. There would have been articles about it. There's nothing. So it's just, if you've ever wondered if InfoWars is the real deal, it's impossible for us not to be. I'm just saying. It's so frustrating hearing people lie about us continuously when just 10 minutes of research should make everything obvious. And of course, the videos from like the 90s of Alex Jones, it's all amazing. But I want to go to a video here because it is one of these. And it's kind of troubling how convincing this video could seem. Now, the video I'm about to show you is from a user called Bobby Sauce, and he's responding to some weirdo, I guess not leftist. He seems like a leftist, but I guess he's a Trump supporter. But he's just lying about InfoWars. The things he's insinuating about InfoWars are just, on the face of it, ridiculous. But listen to the, like, condescending and, like, self-important and the faux superiority and faux authority this guy puts across as he's telling you things that are abjectly and provably false. And just keep this in mind, okay? I'll talk a little more on the other side, but let's go to clip 49 here. This is a video from Bobby Sauce responding to some guy who's really good at dramatic pauses. Let's watch.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you paid for anything from Alex Jones?
Never.
When's the last time you bought one of his suppositories or one of his supplements? One of his t-shirts, mugs, hats? When's the last time you sent money to Alex Jones?
Never.
You haven't?
No, but he's had an objectively massive audience for literally decades. So what exactly does that prove?
Yeah. Weird, huh?
It's not really that weird. I have 700,000 something followers across my platforms. Less than 1% have ever given me money.
Because his organization cost millions to operate.
Okay, what's the point?
Yeah, he's fine. He keeps growing. Like he's got cash coming in from everywhere.
Look, I've never really listened to Alex Jones regularly, but to pretend like he's just got no money or no audience when he's had hundreds of millions of people following and watching him for decades, had a nationally syndicated radio show, and now has a supplement brand, one of the highest margin items that you could possibly sell. What is the implication here?
We've done the math, folks. I've been doing this a long time.
Done what math? Alex is not a publicly traded company. You have no idea what he's selling or not selling. And those hundreds of millions of people that follow him, a lot of them donate money or they buy the supplements, the margin on supplement, 50% plus. Everybody knows that the biggest way to monetize your audience is to sell your own manufactured goods. His net worth has been estimated in the hundreds of millions. Whether that's accurate or not doesn't even really matter. But at one point, his court filing showed that InfoWars was making $800,000 a day. And that was like 7 years ago. A day. So
I've been doing this a long time, been in broadcasting and advertising marketing since I was 14 years old. I've been doing this a long time.
You were doing broadcast advertising and marketing when you were 14? What? And even if you have, that doesn't change anything.
We can't seem to figure out how those suppositories and supplements are paying all the bills.
One of his best-selling supplements is Methylene Blue. I don't know the first thing about Methylene Blue, but I looked on the website, 50 milliliters, 16 to 17 bucks, originally $50 for 50 milliliters. Based on what I see, these milliliters cost 4 to 5 cents to produce in bulk. So if you sell a lot of high-margin items over decades of time to hundreds of millions of people, like, what are you talking about, dude?
Let that sink in.
Let what sink in, dude? What is the dramatic, like, I know something that you don't know. I've been doing this since I was 3 years old. I came out of the womb doing marketing and sales. And look, I don't like a lot of what Alex has been talking about here. And I've always taken his information with a grain of salt over many years. But this, like, tacit implication that you have some type of inside baseball because you have expertise, so you know that this money is coming in from somewhere. When there's all these other people that are doing the exact same thing in much more nefarious ways that all of us can see in plain sight, that are provable, that are objective, that we can look at. But you did the math and can't figure out where the money's come from? What are you even talking about, bro? This follows the exact same vein as the rest of his content, which is like, oh, you don't agree with me? Well, you're stupid and ignorant. It's because you don't know, because I came out of the womb doing policy, bro. You love Trump. He's the hero. How about the billions his family's made in crypto? What's more of a threat? Alex Jones selling supplements or that? Whatever it is. This video has 5,000 views on X, and there's people in the comments saying they bought the bone broth. They bought the methylene blue. It changed their life. So what, dude?
So let me clarify some things real quick. I don't know where he's getting his calculation for what it costs to create methylene blue. That's just not the case. He's like, it costs like 4 or 5 cents. No. Go ask Grok, because that's what I did. I was like, that's not right. And if Alex was here, he could tell you the exact breakdown. And he was talking about it this week because he's like, well, how are we selling this for 72% off? He's like, we're losing money. He's like, and I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but he's like, it costs us $16 to make. How are we selling it for $17? That doesn't make any sense. It's like, what? So yeah, sometimes we sell things at cost just as a promotional thing to because you're going to like the product. And once you use the product, you're going to be like, dang, I need to get that again. Like this is normal marketing. This is how sales works. This actually came up during the bankruptcy. And they were accusing Alex Jones of being extortionary or whatever. And they're like, he marks up his products this amount. Guys, a lot of our products are literally white labeled consumer products that you can buy on the shelf at major retailers. Okay. Like it's stuff that people who hate us have in their pantries and paid more for at the store than they could have at InfoWars. It's absurd. And if you look at basically every other product, I mean, because at the time, during the trial, they were saying he marks it up, and however much percent. And this is I can't believe it. This is just awful. Treating it as if it's like Alex Jones came up with some scheme to like rob people. And it's like everything you watch on TV is paid for by advertising. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Everything you watch on TV is only being broadcast on television because there are ads to sell products. That this is the most normal business structure you could possibly have. Only we're doing it under like severe total restriction, right? We have to get everything right. Again, this is the thing about InfoWars. We have to do everything perfectly. We have entire industries of people out there all day, every day, studying everything we do. Another thing revealed during the trial where you had people come out and going, I'm a disinformation expert. I've spent the last several months studying Alex Jones and going through the incredible literature that's out there, the tens of thousands of articles and scientific investigations by universities around America studying Alex Jones, studying InfoWars, not out of academic curiosity, but like a general studies the battle plans of his enemy general. They're studying us to try to defeat us. Other places, other retail outlets are going under constantly, going bankrupt constantly. All they do is sell products, and they can't keep the doors open. We sell products to fund our production. We're under the same constraints that your average, brick and mortar retailer is under, only we also fund an entire news network with the proceeds. And we're still succeeding. And so I looked into it, and it's like, okay, let's take a random well-known brand that advertises everywhere. If it's so bad that Alex Jones sells good products to, promote his, to fund his production. Okay, CNN advertises Coca-Cola, right? It costs something like 5 cents for a bottle of Coke. They turn around and sell those bottles of Coke for $5 in some cases. That's 100 times mock-up. So this is the thing. If you're going to apply these, constrictions, these accusations against InfoWars, it's like we do it less than anybody else, and our stuff is better than anybody else. We have to be, because if we're not, we'll be destroyed. We have to have people come back to buy our products. Why would we sell them bunk products? We have to deliver what we advertise, or else every DA in America would be salivating to bring us down. We have to do it by the book. We have to do it perfectly. It's why, Alex got a big tax refund once the bankruptcy started, because we're so cautious. We know the type of scrutiny we're under. We'll go over and above and beyond, even if we don't have to. And when I do War Room, it's like everybody who calls in has a story about how methylene blue or iodine or one of our products has transformed their life. We don't tell them to do that. I don't even know they're going to do it when I go to their call. I'm like, James from Missouri wants to talk about Trump. Welcome to the show. And he's like, let me tell you about how methylene blue saved my life. It's crazy. It just happens. Our products are amazing. Anyway, it's just all of this is designed to try to destroy us. And we've already been on the brink of destruction for years now because of our support of Donald Trump. And then it's Donald Trump himself who comes out and says, actually, it's a good thing this is happening. It's a good thing Alex Jones went bankrupt. Just infuriating. So you do support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You are the only way that we get support. Unlike every other organization, spokesman, outlet, news, magazine, they all take money from sponsors. They all take money from interest. They all take money to say certain things that they don't believe. That is the definition of grifting. We say exactly what we believe, regardless of who wants to say anything about it. And we're able to do that because Alex deliberately created a system that was free from influence, coercion, or control. He understood that we would be targeted. He understood that if we relied on payment processors like Patreon, we'd be taken down. If we relied on subscription models, that could be done away with by cooperation with big tech. If we wanted to do it, what we did was very simple. We created a sort of agreement, a sort of contract with our audience. We tell you the truth, and in exchange, you go to thealexjonesstore.com. That's it. Nobody else is in control. Nobody else can determine for you whether or not we're telling the truth. All we can do is appeal to your, personal discernment. And say, hey, I think we've upheld our end of the bargain. I think we have told the truth, and it's hurt us, and it's really caused a lot of suffering for all of us individually. It has not been an easy couple of years at this company, let me tell you. Not because of anybody here or anything that we're doing, But the attacks that we're under, like, we've suffered. We've actually suffered and been disadvantaged by all this stuff. But it's fine. We're going to continue to tell the truth. We're going to continue to tell you exactly what we believe and exactly what we think is happening. And even if you disagree with us in our interpretation, I hope that you can recognize that we're not BSing you. We're not lying to you. We're not making stuff up, taking stuff out of context, because that would be in violation of the very contract that we established. We will tell you the truth. You support us in this mission, and it is an unbeatable symbiotic relationship. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to purchase one of these incredible products. Feel the difference for yourself and know that you are straight up as literally as possible at this point, slapping the New World Order in the face. Every dollar you spend at thealexjonesstore.com is a slap in the face and a spit in the eye of the bad guys that want us to go down. And that alone, I think, is good enough reason, but there's also all the other great reasons. Anyway, thealexjonesstore.com. Please do support us. We really do appreciate it. Here's Donald Trump's statement on, and we're going to finish up with the war in Iran and move on to what happened to Savannah and what's going on in Ireland now. But just to close out with Iran here. So there you have it, Donald Trump says. The meeting went well. Most points were agreed to, but the only point that really mattered, nuclear, was not. Effective immediately, the United States Navy, the finest in the world, will begin the process of blockading any and all ships still trying to enter or leave the Strait of Hormuz. So we're going to now be bombing Chinese ships, I guess. I bet that'll go really well. I've also instructed our Navy to seek and interdict every vessel in international waters that has paid a toll to Iran. It's beyond Mad King Lear. It's beyond King Theoden. It's to the point, how I put it last week on War Room, it's like Donald Trump is pursuing the madman theory, the madman strategy of Richard Nixon, only he's actually doing the madman thing. The whole point of the madman scheme is it works because you're not actually crazy. It doesn't actually work if you're just genuinely insane. The way it's like in the Odyssey, Odysseus pretends to be insane because he doesn't want to go to fight against Troy. His son was just born. He wants to stay home. Telemachus was like 2 months old. And so he's acting crazy and he's like plowing his field and throwing salt instead of seeds. And it's like, whoa, this guy's nuts. And so the guy that came to recruit him is suspicious and goes, I don't think this guy's really crazy. I think he's acting. I think he's pretending. And so he puts 2 month old Telemachus in the field in the way of the plow, thinking if this guy's crazy, if he really is disconnected from reality, he doesn't know his baby from anything. He's going to run right over it. And of course, Odysseus goes around the baby and the guy goes, haha, you're not really crazy. You know what you're doing. Trump is doing the madman theory. And then he runs over Telemachus and like runs over his own son. And it's like, oh, okay. So you're just actually crazy. The whole thing is it's like, well, we don't know if he's going to really start a war with Iran or not. He could do anything. But then you do start the war and you don't have any backup plans and you don't have any off-ramps and you kill the people you're negotiating with. That's not the madman theory anymore. That's just being a crazy person. There's a difference. It's a big one. It's important. U.S. warships transit Strait of Hormuz for the first time. Several U.S. warships transited the Strait of Hormuz for the first time since the war in Iran began, as peace negotiations got underway in Pakistan. I'm just telling you, we are just the worst, man. We really are the worst. It sucks. Like, I'm reading this, I'm just like, okay, so we really did another round of fake peace ceasefire deals and then took advantage of that to get our ships through the strait, knowing that Iran was bound by the ceasefire that we just did. So just once again, pretty much openly, we pretend to do peace negotiations that were never intended to actually result in a compromise or agreement, but instead is being used as cover to do sneaky, you know, warcraft things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. It just sucks. You know, it really is the worst. It's like the Minsk Accord, the Minsk agreements. When Europe comes out and goes, oh, we never intended to actually abide by that. That was just to give us some breathing room to build the army to go to war with Russia. It's like, you're not supposed to say that, you absolute idiots. And that's what it appears as though that's what we were doing here. well, we're not actually going to do a ceasefire or peace with Iran. But if we can get them to stop firing on us, then we can slip those boats in between the Strait of Hormuz. So it's just like Iran, like Russia, are just like patience on a monument. Several U.S. warships transited the Strait of Hormuz for the first time since the war with Iran began. Peace negotiations underway in Pakistan. According to sources who spoke to Axios, the move was not coordinated with Iran and was intended to increase the confidence of commercial ships to cross the strait. It was an operation that focused on freedom of navigation through international waters, a U.S. official said. Yeah, because they're on a ceasefire agreement, because Iran actually sticks to the agreements that they make, unlike Israel, unlike America. It's just pathetic. And again, people will criticize me for that. It's like, no, I don't want to be on the side of liars. I don't want to be on the side of manipulators. I don't want to be on the side. I don't want my side thinking that this crap is clever. This is not clever. It's just evil. It's just short-sighted. Okay, sure, you can, you know, humiliate Iran by killing their negotiators. Down the road, I mean, again, I'm frankly shocked Iran has not just killed our negotiators. Like, why wouldn't they? Why haven't they? I don't understand. We've killed multiple rounds of their negotiators. And yet we would act so upset and surprised if Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner were like bombed by Iran one day. Why? These are the rules we're set. These are the rules we're playing by. And Iran is not playing by them, but they could at any point and be justified in doing so. Of course, Netanyahu says, I'll keep fighting Iran and its proxies. Boichi means America will keep fighting Iran and its proxies, because Israel is not fighting Iran and its proxies. They are not putting boots on the ground, and they never will. Netanyahu made the vow in a post on X on Saturday as U.S. President J.D. Vance was engaged in diplomatic talks to end the war in Islamabad, Pakistan. He also took a swipe at Turkey, which he accused of killing its own citizens as they continue to the buildup for the next big Iran threat, which will be Turkey this time, which is why we're threatening to leave NATO, amongst other reasons. Quote, you failed to win our trust. Iran delegate blames U.S. for collapse of talks. Again, do they sound desperate to you? Do they sound like the ones begging for a deal? Do they sound like the ones holding the cards with the leverage, setting the terms or responding to the terms? Or are they the ones setting the terms? Are they the ones dictating how this will go? It's just pathetic. It really is pathetic. The leader of the Iranian delegation blamed the U.S. for a collapse of peace talks in Pakistan. Quote, before negotiations, I emphasize that we have the necessary good faith and will, but due to the experiences of the two previous wars, we have no trust in the opposing side. Of course, why would they? I mean, the New York Times article revealed that they had planned on bombing Iran as of around February 11th or 12th. That means that from February 12th to February 28th, they were playing the Iranians for fools. They spent weeks holding fake negotiations with Iran while our preparations to attack Iran were going into place. That is public knowledge and acknowledged, and official confirmed sources have said this. So again, it's like, I think Iran would be suckers for trust. Why would they trust us? We have proven ourselves to be untrustworthy. And now the talks have failed, almost certainly because Netanyahu got involved. According to all accounts, J.D. Vance was doing a pretty good job. They were on their way to some sort of agreement when Netanyahu decided to give him a call, and suddenly everything went off the rails. Because that's our real enemy, Netanyahu.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these... embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites, So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to move on from the Iran war, but I do want to say that the context of the Iran war is bigger than just the war itself, right? It's not even so much what we're doing in Iran. It's the fact that we're doing what we're doing in Iran while America continues down the path towards total destruction with absolutely none of the very important things that we sent Donald Trump to Washington, D.C. to deal with. None of them have been dealt with, even remotely. So it's not, if we were doing great, if we'd have 50 million deportations by this point and the border was completely closed and just like if things were actually going well for us, if inflation was actually down, if gas wasn't $5 a gallon, which I guess is because of the Iran war, but if we were doing well, if Trump was fulfilling his domestic agenda, I still wouldn't like the war in Iran, but it wouldn't be the existential crisis that it's become. It would be unfortunate, but it wouldn't necessarily be a deal breaker. Again, in this fantasy world where we're getting everything we want in America, sure, why not? You give us what we want, you can have a little overseas adventure too. The problem is the neocons don't work that way, which again is kind of strange because if they were smart, they would. I mean, it's crazy that they're not. Again, taking this from the perspective of somebody that is seeing things, as they're presented. And it seems like the Republicans are both frustrated at the collapse in poll numbers and support and doubling down on all of the stuff that brought that about. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Of course, when you realize that the people around Trump are not Republican and were never Republican and never been Republican, then it makes a little bit more sense why they don't actually care that the Republican Party is being possibly permanently destroyed as a result of this. So again, it's not even necessarily about Iran. It's about Iran in the light of what's going on here in America. As we still are suffering under the uncorrected problems of the Biden administration, which themselves were merely piled on top of all of the crap that we were supposed to solve under the first administration. None of our backlog of justice out of sight. It's beyond human comprehension. Russiagate, COVID-19, Russiagate, the investigation, the scam, the fake scandal, and the cover-up of the fake scandal. COVID-19, the creation of the bio lab generated virus, and the fake vaccine that now German authorities admit have killed tens of thousands of people. Pfizer has recently been forced to admit, I believe, I'm going off memory here, but see if the crew can find that story. Tens of thousands dead from the COVID vaccines in an official court proceeding in Germany. None of that has been dealt with. And all of that existed before Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas opened up the border, before Merrick Garland started deliberately targeting right-wingers for investigations, and in some cases throwing those right-wingers into prison for years on end, despite never committing violence, never even really breaking the law, yet they were charged with terrorism and pressured into accepting a plea deal anyway. Or if they launched an investigation and nothing came of it, they simply released a fake report about it, which led everybody to think that the right wing was co-opted. That's what he did to Tim Pool and others with the Tenet Media thing. The whole point of it was that they investigated and found no wrongdoing by Tim Pool. But then he releases something saying, we had very good reason to believe that Tim Pool is a Russian agent. Now, to this day, you hear people saying, oh, Tim Pool, the guy that took Russian money, that's a Russian agent. That's criminal. Do you understand? Like, we give these people massive privileges under the condition that they don't use them for their own personal gain or to benefit their own political party, but rather wield these powers with the obligation that they're wielded for the betterment of the country as a whole. Merrick Garland just turned the DOJ into the Democrat persecution squad, the Gestapo. He should be in prison, and everybody who helped him should be in prison. But we're so far from any of that because we have decided to dedicate all of our resources and all of our time on benefiting Israel, which has the dual purpose of empowering the Democrats and destroying the Republicans, so that when the Democrats sweep back into power in 2026 and again in 2028, there will be nobody to stand against them as they pass clemency or give citizenship to everybody that arrived, open up the borders once again. Could America survive another influx of another 50 to 100 million migrants? I mean, we're basically gone now. So again, this isn't like the Iraq war. This isn't like the Afghanistan war. What's happening now in this moment in which we absolutely needed all of our effort going to staunching the blood, the desperate emergency measures just to stabilize America so that hopefully in the future we could come back to the brink from the brink of death. We should have been focusing exclusively on that. Instead, we have entirely dedicated all of this to Israel. And they aren't even happy anyway. They're not returning the favor. So again, the neocons, if they were smart, they'd go, hey, we got to really do deportations. We got to make sure we get that done just to retain the base. And then we can do some of this other stuff that they're not happy with. But they deliberately spit in our faces about what we want and celebrate and brag and rub in our faces the fact that they're doing all this other crap. So this is from Calvin Froedge on X. The promise was record deportations. What we got was record H-1Bs. The promise was no new wars. The reality is more war than ever. It's all we care about now. The promise was to make America great. The reality is we're making Israel great. The promise was a manufacturing revival. The reality has been economic collapse. The promise has been drain the swamp. The reality has been that he's turned the swamp into a protected wetlands. He went in to defeat the swamp creatures. He came out demanding that we watch the alligator's show on Fox News to find out why we're nuking Iran. And of course, immigration is still just as big of a problem as it ever was. And the Republicans now are the ones who are helping the foreigners, the immigrants, the invaders. The Republicans are the ones putting forward bills to quietly give them citizenship by the back door and to pay off lawyers' student loan debt in exchange for them representing illegal aliens. The Republicans put that forward, that bill forward. So the thing, it's like, I get why you don't like Trump, but you got to vote Republican. It's like, I guess, but why? But why? They're the ones doing it. They're the ones who have an amnesty bill that they put forward. Right now, it's sitting there. They're voting on it, and they're pushing it forward. And by the way, everybody who's sponsoring it, there's like 20 people sponsoring it, and like 17 of them were endorsed by Donald Trump. So Donald Trump took all of his political leverage, all of his political capital, and used it to endorse people who are now writing a bill to give the invaders amnesty. When he could have used all of that to usher in a revolutionary sea change in the Republican Party to where we followed his agenda rather than the neocons, but he has now surrendered completely to the neocons and handed America over to them. And we're not seeing a lot of crazy protest and conflict with ICE because ICE backed down, because they're not doing the raids, because they gave in, because they got a little bit of bad press and decided to pack it all in. Now, for 40 days, they've experienced the worst press they've ever experienced with Iran, but it hasn't affected their drive towards war at all. It doesn't matter in that case. When it's for Israel, when it's war in Iran, 99.9% of people can be against it, and pretty much they are, and they do it anyway. But when you want to actually save the country and expel the tens of millions of foreigners that were forced into our border by the Biden administration over the, you know, the 4 years of his presidency, then, one bad poll and they get cold feet. It's all BS. It's all BS. If they cared about poll numbers, then we wouldn't be in war with Iran. It's as simple as that. So it's not about the poll numbers. They didn't want to expel people. It was all a lie the whole time. And now, Savannah Hernandez was attacked by radical leftists, not doing anything wrong. And this is important, too, because we'll show you the video of Savannah Hernandez being viciously attacked while reporting on an ICE protest. Now, she was there alone and without security because she wasn't there to antagonize people or question people, which you do not ever have a right to attack people who are asking questions, obviously. I don't want this to be taken as like a justification, but there is a difference. There is a difference between somebody going with a microphone to interview people, expecting there to be conflict, expecting, you know, maybe, you know, tempers to run high and being prepared for that and sort of not wanting to get beaten up, obviously, but wanting some contention. Like, you go in there with that mindset and you're prepared for whatever happens. What happened here is a member of the press was doing nothing other than capturing footage of a public event, and she was viciously attacked by a mob of people in a way that literally could have killed her. I mean, luckily she's okay, but like, when you see the brutality with which a 300-pound man attacks Savannah Hernandez, you hit your head on the concrete and it's over, folks. So thank God she's not in the hospital today. But the people who did this, at least one of them, was the ringleader along with Don Lemon, who invaded the church in Minneapolis to terrorize the random average Americans who were there. They weren't racist Trump supporters. They weren't, which you wouldn't have been able to do anyway. They weren't ICE. It was random churchgoers. What should have happened at that point is everyone who did that should have been, again, given the same treatment that the January 6ers were. You are being charged with what you did, and it's being enhanced with a terrorism enhancement because you deserve it. Because you are literally on camera saying the reason we did this was to terrify people. It's like so Harmeet Dhillon and the DOJ lets these people go. And the one guy, the main guy, is on camera at multiple locations in multiple instances, antagonizing National Guard members in D.C., threatening them, going into the church and attacking them. And now he's there inciting the mob to go after Savannah Hernandez. So Harmeet Dhillon responds to this on X and says, "We're on it." Something along those lines. "Don't worry about it. We got it from here." Something like that. And it's like, you said that last time. It's the same guy. It's the same guy from the church. You didn't punish him for that. What, you're going to punish him for this, though? Well, why? Why would you? You didn't punish him for the church. There's a reason he thinks he can attack people and get away with it. Because he can. Because he does. Because he has. So I really wonder, I mean, again, we're in an impossible situation. It's kind of ubiquitous, but it's like, the last thing I want is for our justice system to collapse. Kind of already has. I mean, at this point, basically doesn't exist. But people still believe in it. They still trust it. They still will offload their vengeance, revenge, or justice on this massive, complicated system in the belief that the people working for the system will do the best they can to prosecute the people, and that the jury sitting in the box deciding actually has the best interest of the average normal American, the innocent, and the nation foremost in their mind. But that's not really the case either these days. And it's not unlikely that these populations, especially in places like Minneapolis that have been radicalized, they're getting onto juries with the explicit purpose of letting leftists go. And doing jury nullification, not out of a principled libertarian, you know, the government has no right to say what I can do with my personal life type of like jury nullification, but basically just, it's okay he attacked the person because he believes in the same thing I do politically. So how long are we going to trust the justice system? How long until we get to a point where if somebody hurts a loved one of mine, I'm not going to the cops? Because that's the one way the dude gets out and I can't do anything to him. I'm going to go get my own vengeance. I'll be the judge, I'll be the jury, and I'll be the executioner. How long? Because once that ball starts rolling, there's no stopping it. Let's go to some of these videos. I've got a couple on my list here. Let's go to clip 65. Fair warning, it's pretty brutal. Let's go to 73 first. 73, this was like the full stream, the first thing they got posted. People are live streaming it. Here's the attack in its full context against Savannah Hernandez, who was reporting for TPUSA and was viciously attacked by a bunch of hobgoblins. Let's watch. So here you see the sort of split screen. Savannah there on the right, clearly ignoring the woman behind her, trying to film. The woman is touching her. The woman is putting a dildo in her face. That's sexual assault, which would be an additional charge if anything legal were to happen. So again, Savannah filming herself, looking away from the protesters against a fence, putting her hand up to try to block this woman who is blowing a whistle in her ear, by the way, which is assault, like it can deafen you, and it was incredibly loud. So Savannah's just pushing her whistle away because she's trying to like deafen her. Gee, this is what these people do. They are all petulant children, which does not give them an excuse to be violent. You have to, it's this ridiculous, like she's blowing a whistle as loud as she can in a woman's ear. And if you try to push the whistle away, she's going to hit you in the face. All of these people, like, she should be arrested before it ever gets to the violent part. There's a person throwing the dildo in the face. So when attacks Savannah, shoves her, Savannah bounces back up. Again, tries to walk away, still hasn't done anything. Now she's getting, you know, approached, shoved. She shoves the woman back. Thank goodness there were a couple guys there that stood up for Savannah. You see a lot of the guys just sort of standing around letting it happen. There's the big shove, and we'll show you another angle of that. But apparently all these people attacking her are related. There's like two sisters and the dad is the one that shoved her. There she's knocked to the ground. Again, thankfully, there's a few. And like, I wonder, you know, for the people that are on the side of the protesters that are now find themselves protecting Savannah Hernandez, yeah, did you ever stop to think that maybe you're on the wrong side? Maybe the psychotic idiots waving the dildos aren't actually the good guys? Do you think that ever like went through their minds? Because God bless them. I mean, they actually did turn around, put their back to Savannah and held off the insane people. But like, why are you on their side? Why are you there protesting with them? They're again shoving the dildo in the face. I mean, it's just these people. We should not have to deal with these people. Let's go to clip 66 here. This is the shove. This is the real brute. And it didn't look as bad from the angle I just showed you. Here's the real angle where you can see it. She's not looking. She's pointing. And then just full-fledged body slam from this bald retard goblin shoving Savannah Hernandez. Now, again, if Trump wanted to win back America, if the Republicans wanted to win 2026, if anybody in our government wanted America to continue existing for any length of time, not only would these people already be charged, already be in custody, this would be an attempted murder charge, and it would have a terrorism enhancement for attacking members of the press, and it would have a hate crime because of the racial dynamics at play and because they actually insulted Savannah's race as they were attacking her. Now, going, you know, by past actions, likely what'll happen is literally nothing. Literally nothing. Maybe they'll be arrested. Maybe they'll be fined. Almost certainly they will be back on the street doing exactly what they were doing before within 24 hours. And maybe, just maybe, because they have to, because it's on camera, maybe they'll get a disturbing of the peace charge or something like that. Because this is what happens. This is what happens. If you wander through the Capitol high-fiving a police on the way in, they call it terrorism, insurrection, you tried to overthrow the government. Insane, but that's just how it is. Meanwhile, if they viciously attack an innocent woman who's there doing her job as a public service to actually do the thing that the protest is there to do, get attention to the thing, they won't be charged with that. They should be, and they could be. But it's never applied that way. And now the far left anti-ICE extremists who attacked Savannah Hernandez are, of course, now playing the victim after the brutal assault. As the Gateway Pundit previously reported, Saturday turned into a nightmare for conservative journalist Savannah Hernandez when a deranged mob of anti-ICE protesters physically assaulted her outside Whipple ICE facility in Minneapolis. Hernandez was simply standing on a public street filming the protesters' unhinged meltdown. Quote, I was just brutally assaulted by multiple people outside of Whipple ICE facility in Minneapolis. Multiple people swung on me and a grown man pushed me to the ground. My glasses are broken. Antifa is still alive and well. I'm talking with police about pressing charges. So again, I just want to say, for the sake of our country continuing, these people have to be, they have to have the book thrown at them. They have to be made an example of. And I would love if the Department of Justice would be the ones doing that. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's preferable. It's not the only option. It's just we are desperate to have the legal options made available to us, actual American citizens who actually don't do anything wrong. Now, interestingly, from at IndyGRL on X, statement from the daughter and sister of the family that attacked Savannah Hernandez yesterday. So this is the big fat bald goblin. This is his daughter, apparently. Two daughters were there. They were the ones attacking Savannah Hernandez. A third daughter wrote this. I need to be very clear about where I stand. This is Desiree Ostrushko. I do not align with my family's actions in this situation at all. I don't agree with what was done. I don't support it, and I don't stand behind it in any way. Violence is never acceptable to me, no matter the circumstances, opinions, or political beliefs involved. What happened to Savannah was wrong, plain and simple. Everyone has a right to speak, to express themselves, and to be heard without fear of being attacked. That's something I'll always stand on. I also want to be honest. If politics is going to turn into violence, hatred, or harming of other people, I will remove myself completely. I will not be a part of it, even if it means creating distance from my own family. My values matter and I refuse to compromise them. This isn't easy to say, but it's important. I believe in respect, accountability, and doing what's right, even when it's uncomfortable or painful. I stand for peace. I stand for people being able to use their voice safely, and I will always stand on that. Now, going by her family and sort of some of the hints in this thing, I'm pretty confident in saying this one's probably a liberal. Now, to be totally fair, I have no idea what her belief system or, you know, fundamental value system really is. I can tell you that anybody expressing this sentiment is on our team, or is one of the good guys. And this is the division. There's a lot of false dichotomies out there. Left and right is a false dichotomy. Small government, big government, false dichotomy. Jew, Muslim, false dichotomy. The real dichotomy is human beings versus monsters. It's good versus evil. It's people who can recognize the insanity that you just witnessed there and the people who get off on what you just witnessed. That's the real division. And that might be the way we save the country. And maybe this, you know, Trump attack on Alex Jones and the cratering and collapsing of the Republican Party, maybe this is the impetus that we need to really look around and ask ourselves, what do we believe? What does our group represent? Because right now there's this crazy, like, you got people like Shabos Kestenbaum, right? Actual liberal, lifelong progressive, still to this day. He's giving speeches at the Republican National Convention. Why? Because they're trying to create the dichotomy that says supporting Israel is literally the only conservative value. Nothing else matters. You can support transgender children and men on women's sports teams and a welfare state. And you can believe just go down the checklist of every leftist belief. But if you're pro-Israel, then you're a Republican. And if you're anti-Israel, you're a Democrat. And you can be, like me, down the line, straight ballot conservative. Everything I believe is right-wing and conservative. And I don't support Israel. And people tell me that makes me a leftist. Do you understand how absurd that? Do you understand how stupid that is? That is a false dichotomy. Just like right and left is a false dichotomy. The real dichotomy between psychopath, psychotic, hateful morons like Benjamin Netanyahu and the goblins pushing Savannah Hernandez, they have the same mindset. They're on the same side. Whatever that side is, it's the dehumanizing, the violent, the vicious and hateful moronic side versus the real human beings who have empathy for one another, who love one another, who understand the value of free speech, who actually want the best for the world. Time for everybody to decide what side they're on. You might have to break with your family because things are getting crazy, folks. And it's good versus evil, and we're on the side of good. Thank you for joining us.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.